Hello Erlang is a show focused on the Erlang programming community. We discuss topics related to the Bean and the Erlang ecosystem with exceptional engineers that will share their knowledge and experience with you.
Hello, Mike.
Hello, Joe.
System working?
Seems to be.
Okay, fine. Okay.
Hi, folks. This is Hello Erlang, a podcast about all things related to Erlang OTP. I'm Adolfo Neto, a professor in Brazil.
And I am Slava, an Ukrainian Erlanger.
Framework is a generic term commonly referring to an essential supporting structure which other things are built on top of. Without frameworks, the development of anything becomes quite difficult. But it's much more difficult to develop frameworks. For building them, we need to take into account an incredible number of factors and also deeply understand the direction for which the framework is built. In this episode, we'll talk about the Nova framework. Do you know what the Nova web framework is? Well, Nova makes it simple to build a fault-tolerant and distributed web application. It takes ideas from different web frameworks and implements them with the functionality and stability that Erlang and Bean offer. Today, our guests are an amazing duo, which are the creators of the Nova web framework. Please meet Daniel Widgren, who is a technical lead at Kivra, and Niklas Axelsson, a senior software engineer at Division X Telia. So, Daniel and Niklas, could you please introduce yourselves quickly?
Yes, hello everyone. Daniel, and I work as a kind of freelancer, have my own company, and I'm working at Kivra as a technical lead, helping them with their Erlang code and some architecture and structure. Have been kind of in Erlang for 12 years now. So, yeah. And Niklas?
Yeah, my name is Niklas Axelsson, and I am at a company called Telia here in Sweden, doing development in using Elixir. So I've also been in the Erlang community for quite some time, I think professionally the last 11 years. So yeah, really nice to be here.
Impressive, guys. So when do you guys clearly decided to yourself that you wanted to be a programmer and started to programming?
Well, for me, it was kind of late. I didn't really start programming until I was at university. So before that, I built computers. I'm doing like all this kind of Windows system admins real early. I mean, my family had like the C64 and Amiga, Nintendo things like early 90s. And so I had computers, but I didn't program. And I worked with accounting before I kind of decided to do computer science. So I had a different way into programming. And so I went to Uppsala University and did computer science there, and kind of there I learned programming. So,
yeah, for me, it was fairly early, I have to say. I think we in my family got our first IBM XT in the early 90s, I think. And I went to the library and borrowed some books. And then, of course, at the time, you were very interested in games. So one of the most read books I did in my childhood, I think, is this 101 Games Implemented in BASIC. So back then you had to type all the commands in by hand from this book, which was kind of tedious. But it actually made me realize what programming was about and learning from that, basically. And then it's just continued. Me and Daniel, we met at the university in Uppsala back in 2005 or something like that. Yeah, since then, we have kept in touch, and now in the later days, we started this Nova framework.
And when did you learn about Erlang OTP?
Well, for me, it was at the Uppsala University. We had this kind of project course at the late years, and like before you did your master thesis at Uppsala University, that you did like a one semester of with a company, and you did this kind of project with Erlang. So we had opportunity with, well, my group did the e-commerce system for with Klarna. At that time, it was 2009, and then we kind of got a crash course in Erlang, like Erlang and Erlang OTP crash course in 1 week, and then it was like go out and try things. But it was a really good course to really learn about Erlang and also all the kind of bad things you can do with it. Like we did write our own list module, because yeah, we needed a module that handled list. And then our teacher was like, yeah, have you read the documentation? And I was like, no, are there documentation? And then we kind of find OTP that was like all these kind of fantastic modules that was already in Erlang. So yeah.
Yeah, I think it was about the same time. It was one course earlier, to be honest. We had a distributed system course, which just touched on the surface of Erlang and discussed the different attributes that Erlang provides. So, but then, of course, the project course that Daniel was talking about was the main thing that really hooked me up on Erlang. So.
Cool. So why did you choose the Erlang OTP?
For me, it was kind of the only thing that I worked with for 12 years and kind of where I wanted to solve these kind of problems. But I mean, after kind of 12 years, when you worked in different kind of areas of business, you kind of see that Erlang OTP is a really good platform for HTTP and API request. It doesn't really matter kind of what you do, but you kind of want this like isolated process request, and it's in like easy way to do it, and it should be reliable, and kind of the Beam and Erlang is, I mean, it kind of made for telephone switches that kind of is the same things. You send messages and it should go fast, and you should rely on it. And today it's fascinating how that technology works so well with internet technology. So for me, it was kind of, it was right to do. Yeah.
And for me, I think I started in the wrong direction, because when I first started the HTTP development, it was ASP and PHP. And I mainly did PHP back in the days, which I still enjoy now and then. It's very pragmatic language. You can do things really, really fast, and it just makes sense when you, if you're doing it right, of course. The problem in Erlang was that even though I really like developing in the Beam or in with Erlang, there wasn't really a good framework or a good thing where to write the code that I love to do in PHP, where you had this simple, you just created a page, a PHP page, and you can query it directly. And if you made changes to it, that would be reflected immediately. So from my point of view, that was missing in Erlang in some sense. So just bring something that I really enjoyed into the language.
Great. And could you tell us how and when the idea to create an Erlang OTP web framework came about?
I mean, I think the idea kind of came in a hotel room in Graz, but the backstory of Nova is that me and Niklas has kind of done open source projects with each other for over 10 years now, and Niklas had done some part of what is Nova today, but it was called Bird Web at that time. And some year earlier, we started to do like an ORM, like the database model part. And so we had all these pieces that were built over kind of 10 years, but we had not done anything with it. And we kind of both had worked quite a lot with Chicago Boss, Nitrogen, and other Erlang web frameworks, and felt like they were good. And somewhere, I guess, between the vacuum that when Chicago Boss kind of stopped maintained and people start doing things with Cowboy, it wasn't really any frameworks on the market. And every business that you kind of start working on kind of say that you can't build web application with Erlang. You need to use Phoenix to build anything on the Beam. You can't do any web things on Erlang. You need to use Elixir. And somewhere there was like, but you can do this with Erlang. But the Erlang community is really lacking to describe for you how you should do it. But I mean, Phoenix is built on Cowboy, that is an Erlang web server. So obviously you can do it, but they have solved the hassle. And that's kind of also what we want to do with Nova. I mean, we want it to be easy for people to use. And I think it was kind of there we did sit down and say that, shouldn't we try to make it more like a framework and try to get it out and get all these ideas that we had over the 10 years and working experience, like trying to get it simpler and see what can we do for the community to add this framework.
Yeah, I think we both had, as Daniel said, experience with other frameworks such as Chicago Boss, which was one of the biggest influences we had in the beginning. So Chicago Boss was also a model view controller. Or model view controller framework, sorry. But they were lacking the release handling and the proper OTP structure that needs to be in an Erlang release. So we had the idea of improving on that. And when we looked at Chicago Boss, that was kind of far out from what we were trying to achieve. So it didn't make any sense to try and do the changes directly to Chicago Boss and have it as a pull request on GitHub. So what we did was to start this ourselves instead, making it a separate project.
Okay. It is known that there are already several frameworks like N2O, Nitrogen, MochiWeb, and let's not forget about the web servers like YAMS and Cowboy, which also can allow us to create the web frameworks. So, which tasks those frameworks cannot handle, and which tasks are you trying to solve by Nova?
I mean, some of these frameworks, I mean, if we take Nova, it's kind of built on Cowboy. So, I mean, everything, most of the things that we do in Nova, you can do with Cowboy. When I started to work a lot with Erlang and Cowboy as a web server got quite big. I mean, it's big. We did see kind of a pattern that you install Cowboy, you kind of started to figure out like how is these Cowboy handlers working? Should I use REST or should I use some other things that are in Cowboy? And then you kind of look into try to find things in the documentation, and kind of 2 weeks later, you maybe get Cowboys up and you do your coding, because that was kind of the pattern. Or you write your own kind of handler module that you don't need to rewrite all the things all the time. And this was kind of a pattern that we did see. So one of the things that we wanted with Nova was that it should be easy to set up your basic structure. Like it should be templated, you should get your structure up, and you can start building your logic for application at the start. And there, I mean, you shouldn't kind of figure out how should I kind of write handlers to do callbacks or these kind of things. And this is what we try to handle with Nova, and that like that this was one of the start points. Today we have done a lot of other things, that we have our own routing structure and a lot of other things. But I was like, and also like the time to market, like from that you start your project until you have a release, it should go fast. So you should kind of be able to do a release the same day you start doing your project. And this is kind of the things that we wanted with Nova. It should be easy, simple, and fast to get your things just out and do stuff. So Niklas, I'm not sure if you have other things to fill in, but
no, I think you talked about the main things with it. So it should be fast, and it should be, as I was saying before, it should be as nice to use as PHP, in the sense that when you're doing an update in one of your modules, it should be reflected directly when you're in the developer mode. As well as building a release should also be very, very fast. So all the boilerplate that you need to do with JAWS and Cowboy and those kind of web servers, we have tried to abstract and to provide a more friendly environment.
Yeah, I mean, we try to not only kind of focus on what Nova does, but kind of the tooling around Nova. So we try to have our like own Reverb Free plugins, where we have this kind of functionality to set up like development mode. So if you like update your Erlang module and save it, it should be recompiled while you have your shell up. So you can kind of get these updates in while you're kind of testing the REST API. You can see like, oh no, I did this typo here. Okay, then I can fix the typo, save the file, and run the test again and see that, oh, it works. And these are kind of the things that we don't want, these like long compile times, or it should be simpler to develop at that time. Also kind of like one thing that I kind of did when we did these like big routing files is you have the type in your routing, like in your URL or pattern or something that you were doing. And then you needed to recompile everything because that was kind of a static file. And today we have it like this kind of routing as a module, and that makes it also like we can add a new URL or fix your URL and compile it in the dev mode. So it's very easy to get these things. I mean, it's cleaner when you develop, and that is also something that we try to work with.
Okay, and the official Nova framework site tell us that Nova takes ideas from different web frameworks, implements them with the functionality and stability that Erlang and the Bing can offer. You have already mentioned here Chicago Boss and Cowboy, but could you please provide maybe some other examples of ideas that came from other web frameworks? Let's say maybe they came from Django or Tornado from the Python world, or TreeFog framework from the C++ world, or Spring from the Java world, or maybe not, or maybe from other frameworks based on other languages. Could you please provide examples of these ideas?
Yeah, I think some of the ideas we have had for Nova has been more explicit than others. So as we mentioned, Chicago Boss has been one of them. But of course, Django is one of the, probably the greatest one, and very easy to be influenced by that. The same goes for Ruby on Rails. And of course, nowadays you have Phoenix. So in fairly recent, we have started to actually look at how Phoenix are trying to solve things and how they have done it, just to get a bit both better understanding, of course, but also to try and get know what to where Phoenix are in the sense of how it works, because Elixir and Erlang people tend to be the same. Or if you have done some Elixir programming, you might have done Erlang and vice versa. So it's a really good idea to sort of bring those two frameworks together, just to ease the, as we said, ease the user friendliness and to get started with, basically. So, and also, of course, Send framework is another one in PHP. Not very nice one, but it's we have borrowed some ideas from basically all of them. But I think Phoenix is probably the easiest to tell today that we have been influenced by.
Got it. And what databases are supported by NOAA web framework, and how difficult to implement support of, you know, some database that is not on your list of supported databases?
Yeah, I can start with this. So basically, we don't have any model support in NOAA today. We have a beta feature for this, where we have integrated our other open source project called EarlDB. But it's still very shaky. It works with ETS tables and have initial support for MySQL. But as we're now, when we are doing this talk, we are actually in the mid development of a new version of EarlDB, which we hope will be available, soon. but we have totally rewritten what we had. It was previously, it was really relying on parse transforms, basically, and the PMod module. And we wanted to do it a little bit more modern, and we have looked at both Active Records for Ruby on Rails as well as Ecto on Elixir, and we have borrowed pieces from all of them to try and make something that is a little bit nicer to Erlang and how we can do that. So to answer your question there, we don't have any support for databases right now, but that's one of the big things that we are going to release hopefully this year.
So work in progress, right?
Yeah.
Cool. And we noticed that the NOAA framework has integration with early DTL and therefore compiles to Django template language. Compiles the Django template language to Erlang bytecode. Is that right? And what solutions do you have for front-end developers who want to try to develop some front-end part? How can they do it with NOAA?
Yeah, I mean, today we have kind of the early DTL that you can write to HTML, you can add things like the Django template. It works in the same way. We had a talk, I think it was later, like last year, on one of these Erlang conferences, where we kind of had this talk with Jesse Gum, that is one of the maintainer now on Nitrogen and has worked with it for a very long time. And one of the ideas that we have is to see if we can take some of Nitrogen core and make it as LiveView is for Phoenix, and have like a Nitrogen view kind of things for NOAA that is built on top of NOAA, where you can kind of write your code in Erlang, and it will do these kind of HTML, JS things for you. And mostly because I really is bad on writing HTML and JavaScript. So it's kind of, for me, high on the list, because I want to be able to write Erlang in full of the application, like from the front end to the kind of the back end. I know Niklas has kind of been hitting on me that I should be learning JavaScript more than I do, but so we have had this kind of discussion. Also, I kind of like Nitrogen. When I started learning Erlang at Uppsala University, we did this e-commerce system, and at that time we used Nitrogen and React. React was kind of new at that time and not tested at all. And it was really nice to write everything in Erlang and kind of compile these websites for you, and you kind of got the views. And it's so in that way, I really like Nitrogen as a framework. But it feels like it's more if you want to build this web application with your homepage, and not maybe if you want to build a REST API and homepage server. Then, so for that kind of, I would say that hopefully we can move on with the Nitrogen part and see if we can make that like view things for the same as Live View for Phoenix. But I also would say that this is also something that we see from the Elixir community, that Live View is big. And it is also like something that we feel that it should be really good if we could get that into Erlang as well, that you can get a powerful framework that helps you do things, but also with a strong kind of view part.
Let's continue talking about the front-end part. A lot of web frameworks have admin panels. Do you have something like it, or if not, are there any plans to build a web admin panel like was done so far in the Django, by example?
That's a really good question. We actually had a administration dashboard in the beginning of Nova, but we deprecated that quite fast because it didn't really do anything meaningful. We saw that in order for an administration panel to be really powerful, you really need this model support. And we weren't invested in doing an admin panel that was relying on something like Postgres, which you couldn't change during. But we have been talking about it, and that's why we are actually doing the models now in Nova. It all started with us trying to come up with a new admin interface. So we are actually, right after we have released this model handling, we are probably going to do something like an admin panel. But we have also been discussing a little bit about a debug panel. For when you're actually sitting there and doing development, you want a profiling tool, for example, and you want to have some, perhaps you want to see how long it took to render this page and all of that. So I think that's even a more interesting thing because it enables you as a developer, rather than trying to log into an administration panel and see what kind of values you can change. So I think the debug panel will probably be more before the administration dashboard, but we are working on it. We have thought the idea, and it's something that we really want to do to really enable users to interact with Nova.
I suppose it will be great if it will be released at the same time when you provide the support of the databases.
Yeah.
And where is the Nova web framework already use it?
We did use it at our kind of former company, some part of it called Sark. But now I have it mostly on my own sites. I'm not sure if we haven't had some companies that were starting doing projects with Nova, but I'm not sure if they have released anything on it. We've done it some project with Nova that like chat service and that for different government things. So But we try to show things when we have, but it's kind of hard to get like new frameworks into companies if it's not, you don't have all this kind of support and all the tools at the same in place. So usually we try to see if we can get it to developers and if they can start using it and then spread it. So yeah. So I'm not sure if Niklas, you have any companies that you have working with that use Noah?
Well, I think actually there are one local company here that I introduced to Nova that is currently trying it out. They are developing a kiosk for handling documents. So I think the idea was that you, from an office, for example, scan in documents, and then you can go to this kiosk where you can actually you insert your PIN code or something like that that you've gotten in a text message, and then it will start print the messages that has been scanned in. So that's one of the places I know is using this, but it's just a local company for now. So. But hopefully in the future, there will be more.
Well, I suppose some commerce projects can use it, this framework too, and you know, just not promoting this information public in the public space. So it also can be. So, what exactly benefits developers can get from the using Nova Web Framework?
I mean, yeah, I mean, some of these things we touched on earlier, but it's kind of that we remove much of the boilerplating. It should be faster market and these kind of things. But one of the things that we also worked quite a lot about is routing, like trying to think about when you release your application to production, the maintenance should also be easy to do. So we have kind of spent some time around how we do the routing in Nova and so on. So kind of as a developer, when you start with Nova, it's easy to start. It's easy to do a release. And that is kind of what we want to do. It should be a pleasant experience, and you should be able to start writing your application code from the beginning. And for us, it's kind of most of the focus when we try to introduce new people to this is that try to see like down, install the plugin, create a new Nova project, and just start it to see like now you have a running Nova application, and this is how it looks and this is how it works. And from that, you can start changing your path and you can change your logic. And that way, you don't really maybe necessarily understand all the architecture around Nova or Cowboy that is we are built on. But it should be easy for you just to write your code, get something out, and then you can learn by doing. And that is also something that we kind of want to work with. So.
And please tell us which load tests you use for Nova and which indicators you have achieved since the beginning of the first days of starting the development of the web framework until today.
Yeah, I wish I could have said that we were doing load tests, but we have done some load tests, I will say. But we don't do this continuously, unfortunately. But we are very well aware of where to spend time inside of Nova. So when we are doing development, we are really keen on not putting hard logics where, for example, you have your incoming requests. So we try to keep those parts of the system fairly lightweight, whilst on startup, for example, Nova does this compilation of the route tables, and it initialized the plugin table and so on. So there's where we have, where we can actually spend time. So with that in mind, I think we, when we did the load test, we saw that we had fairly reasonable figures at least. But that's also something that we hope to improve on. The more GitHub evolves, we try to evolve with it, and have this automated runners, for example, is part of that. Having load tests there automatically on pull requests, for example, that would be a dream scenario.
Yeah, I mean, one more thing that we kind of tested also during this period was that there was a new JSON library released on FOAS that they did some load testing with other JSON libraries. And so we cannot, yeah, but how is our JSON library that is in Node compared to this? And it was bad compared to FOAS. So we did quite a forced decision to just, yeah, we should move to FOAS because that is so much better, faster, and also better in memory consumption. Something that we kind of think of whenever we build Node, that kind of it should be fast, but we shouldn't, like, and memory should be kind of good so we can use it in a good way. So these are like also things that we try to keep track and like not only how is Node, but like how is our dependencies behaving when we do things. And if someone is releasing something, we try to see like, is this better than our dependency and is it worth changing? So I think we try to keep track of things. So
sounds cool. So could you please provide more information about the architecture of the Nova Web framework?
Yeah, we are building upon Cowboy. So we are utilizing their middlewares and stream handlers in order to get the functionality that we need. So many of the tasks that you can experience when using Nova is based on that. But then we have some other things as well, like the Nova application itself, which is handling the plugin tables and the routing or the compilation of routes. So we actually exchanged the Cowboy native routing with our own module. So it now works with HTTP methods, because that was one of the things that we felt Cowboys were lacking a little bit in, as well as being able to determine if you have non-deterministic pathing. So we are handling that today with a modified prefix tree. So it traverses the tree and looks if there's any conflicts. And in the beginning, we had quite few bugs with that, but I think most of them has been resolved by now. But Nova itself is fairly simple architectural-wise. We have some standard components that are brought up on start, but otherwise we are relying quite heavily on Cowboy and the middlewares and stream handlers that Cowboy provides, or the mechanism for it.
Yeah, I mean, if we take some of the routing, this is also things that we wanted to work with maintenance, like when you add a new path for your URL for your application, you should see directly if you have a copy of it, if it's a duplicate of a path you already added. I mean, when me and Niklas kind of worked together, we had this application with like 150 endpoints. And then you needed to add some new REST interface to it. And then you added but I don't kind of see if we have this path already in this application, so I add it. And then you kind of test and you kind of sit there and wondering why Cowboy is not delivering this kind of path to your, to the handler. And then you can realize that like 70 endpoints up, you already had this path and it's pointing to a module. Yeah. So these are like some of the things that like from work experience and like mistakes we have done that we wanted to get into the framework, that that making kind of the routing is also like you specify how your application will work. And this is kind of one of the features I think I kind of been most driven in Noah to have like the explicit way to specify routing. So you really can say like this endpoint points to this module and function. And in when you kind of debug or do this in live production, it's really nice to see that if things crash in this endpoint, I can go to the module and function and see that this is exactly where it crashed. Somewhere here, from here, we know can do the kind of detective work to see why it doesn't work. While we kind of did sit with Cowboy quite a lot, and it was like, yeah, we go to this handler. Then I need to figure out like what function is handling my post. And then you need to kind of realize how the kind of everything kind of worked in Cowboy again. And then you can start your detective work. So we wanted to do the also like the hassle about debugging your system also while it's live. So these are the kind of defining things that we also try to focus on.
What future development of the Nova project is expected in the near and far future?
I would say kind of first thing is the model handling. So we can create this kind of big, well, the new debug interface. And I would probably say that after we had done that, it would, for me, would probably look into the Nitrogen core, see if we what we can do and see if we could create a kind of Nitrogen view for Nova. But I would say like the next big thing for Nova is the model part and see if we can get LDB working in a really good way.
So related to the open source stuff, how many maintainers you already have and how to become a maintainer of the Nova?
Yeah, I mean, today it's just me and Niklas kind of that are the maintainers. We have had with us, I think, around 10 contributors. So it's slowly growing number. I think we have like 165 stars or something. So we try to grow the open source project. But if you want to be like a maintainer or contribute to Nova, I mean, the easiest way is to like open tickets. And we are fairly fast to answer it. Else we have like the Erlang forum, Slack, where we have the Nova channel where you can ask questions. And both me and Niklas are usually on the internet quite often and doing program on Nova. So we usually help out with both Nova and where you can find things and how things works and try to help people as much as possible. And also if they do like pull requests, we try to do reviews and give feedback and in that way. So, I mean, if more people would be using Nova and want to contribute, we are happy to help.
And what can you tell us about the challenges of maintaining such projects like the Nova Web Framework?
Yeah, I mean, the challenge I would say first is like, are we solving a real problem? No, but in some way, kind of, you always build these kind of frameworks or tools from issues that you have stumbled on during your experience in different projects and these kind of things. So you kind of first, I mean, Noah was kind of starting from a frustration of boilerplate and Cowboy. And then next step now is that we can build this really cool application in a fast way. And somewhere here is like, I know that I'm solving my problems, but how some are we sure that we are really helping other problems? So for us, I mean, for me, it's like getting the feedback from the communities. I mean, are we doing this in a good way? Are we focused on wrong things now, or should we get other feature first, because that would maybe be helping the community or Erlang in a better way. But right now it's usually like me and Niklas have a discussion and so say it's like, yeah, but this would solve the problems that we have in our projects. And then we try to see that it first fits in Nova because one of the things is that we want Nova to be quite small. So before we kind of add features or add things into Nova, we kind of discuss it, like, is this something that we want in Nova, or should it be built on top of Nova? And these are the kind of things that we, when you use Nova, should be fast and should be small. It shouldn't take hours to download every package and install and compile. It should, the core should be quite small. So I would say that these are like one of the challenges to maintain it, like the path forward, especially when it's a small community, then it's harder to get requests like, can we do this with Nova, or what can we do?
And I think another challenge is time management. So I think for both of us, we really enjoy development and doing development with the things we really think is cool. So and that might not necessarily be aligned with what the community wants. So I think that's, at least for myself, is one of the larger problems, not to be focused on the wrong things, as Daniel says, but also to find it meaningful to do something, even though it might be tedious. You can see that the community actually is asking for this.
Yeah, I mean, and also I think like one of the, because in the beginning it was just me and Niklas, and we knew how the framework worked because we built in, we talked about it, we discussed in evenings and everything around this framework. And kind of when we went open source and started to do conferences, was like, do we have any guides on how to use this framework? And then we did like, okay, but if we are an open source project, we need to start thinking about the documentation, the README is, and these are also things that kind of takes time from development to features, is like, how do you, when new people comes to this framework, can they read and have an understanding of what we do? And I think that is also a challenge to say like what we can do. And with all documentation, it's kind of hard to write it in a way that people understands how it works. I mean, you can write a text because you have you already know how it works. So for you, it makes sense. But for someone else, it could be like non-descriptive or hard to understand how things are described.
For this case, maybe it makes sense, you know, create some, I don't know, video blog post which is related to the Nova web framework, like, you know, because sometimes it's hard to explain by text, and you know, more easy to show one time in the video or by screenshots wherever, and this can be helped to the others to better understand what is going on inside of the Nova.
Yeah, we had some discussion around it that we maybe should try to have like just some coding evening where we can sit and try to solve something and show what you can do with Nova. So we maybe will announce it and see what we do.
Thanks. So what do you think is missed or can be improved in the LLMHTP for the web frameworks?
I think Erling in an OTP has overall kind of good modules and things like that. What Erling kind of has missed over a lot of years is the tooling. I mean, if you kind of look at Elixir and how Elixir works, they have great tooling. You have the mix and you have all the things around it that really helps you as a developer to move your project forward. I remember when I kind of started writing Erling and OTP, everyone's like, yeah, if you need to compile your project, you need to write your make file. We kind of add your RC flags, and then that's how you build your project. And it kind of also comes that you have this make file that is passed from someone to someone to someone, and you just modify it. Later we had Rebar, and then kind of now we have Rebar 3 that is I think is really good. And but I think also like an issue we had in the Erlang community is that we had two build tools. We had the Erlang MK, and now we have Reverb 3. And now it's kind of, where I kind of feel like Elixir, they kind of use that this is the tool to use, and then the community use it. While in Erlang, it's kind of harder to set this kind of tools. And that makes it also like people that want to learn Erlang and want to do things around it, even for web application, but other is that the tooling is not kind of great in Erlang. And that is something that could be improved.
And how do you promote the Nova project?
Yeah, I mean, we have been on some conferences now. I think last year we tried to be on the most of the conferences where we could talk about Nova. Else it's kind of, when we do releases, we try to use Twitter, we Erlang Forum and Slack. I think like latest release we did send it on Hacker News. I never really used Hacker News before, so it was kind of interesting to see that it kind of took off a bit. I think we got like 40 new stars on one day or something when we released it there. And kind of the most complaint was that our homepage was ugly. And so I mean, we know we need to do some improvement, but I kind of learned that for open source project, Hacker News could be a good place to have a big impact, like big spread on developers.
Could you tell us, please? You see, two guys is already a team. Yeah. So, what development methodology do you use together? And I mean that, what methodology you can recommend it for the open source projects?
Yeah, do you want to talk about
I mean, me and Niklas, we are kind of, I realized that we kind of start knowing each other for 17 years. And so, I mean, we had periods where we kind of chat daily. So if someone kind of thinks like, for example, I remember I had this really awesome day, like a really bad day with Cowboy, kind of the pathing that I just explained, that like, trying to debug some URL pathing. And I remember that, like, we discussed with Niklas, like, I really want explicit pathing that I could say, like, this, like, in my file, I want to see that this works. And the kind of methodology that we have is, like, usually someone brings up an ID, then we kind of communicate, like, we bounce the ID, like, how could we implement it? Then one of us kind of do a proof of concept, like, can we do it this way? Like, it's not necessarily something that we will bring into Nova, but we add a pull request and we start discussing around it, and then we work on it quite frequently until we feel like, yeah, but this is something that works with Nova. But I mean, in the end, I think it's like communication and how you talk to each other. And I will also say things need to take time. So even if you kind of give an answer, it's fine if it takes some days before you get the response back, because it's also an open source thing, so people have daily life around it. So I think it's kind of a way to find how you communicate, where you can find your have the discussions around the features.
Yeah, and that to always have a polite tone when you are talking with each other on official forums, so you don't get into where the Linux kernel have been, where you have some really salty comments on pull requests, because that turns a lot of developers away and they are getting scared to do pull requests and to actually contribute to your projects. So I think that's also a very important factor to be very open and to have a very nice tone.
So we're moving to the final part of our podcast. Show me your mostly beautiful Erlang code. So in the final part of this podcast, guys, we usually pay homage to the Joe Armstrong and his pursuit of the beautiful code. In your opinion, what is most beautiful piece of Erlang code you ever see and why? It can be any project or a single module, hopefully in the open source where we can and others can check out.
Yeah, I think this one is kind of hard. I'm not sure if I have any module or something that I can think of. I mean, one of the things that I kind of still think about is I did this work for a company, and I went into see how they had their protocol module, and it was just one big one function in it with one receive loop that was like 800 rows big. And kind of when you first came into there, it was like, why didn't they use Yen server, or why didn't they use all these other things around this? So I kind of asked around, like, yeah, but who has written this kind of code, and why have you your like protocol in this way? And they was like, yeah, it's Joe that has written this, and it was like, yeah. And then I kind of told Joe, he was like, yeah, but we were going to do this prototype with this protocol. I mean, the fastest way to do it is create a receive loop, and in the last, you kind of cache the message you get, and then you just print it out, and then you add it to the receive. And then that's how you handle the protocol. You get a lot of messages, and the message that you don't handle, you print. And then you start the loop again, and then you can just add it the messages that you need, and you error handling the messages that you should error handling. And kind of the discussions I had with Joe around this kind of module was like really fascinating, because he kind of just, yeah, I was going to build a prototype and this is how it worked. And it was really fun to hear him just going from like this proof of concept work. Like, yeah, I did this, it was the fastest way. And it also showed what you can do with Erlang. I mean, so it was really fun.
And I think from my side, the most beautiful Erlang code is basically what you see in a beginner do, a very naively implemented piece of code, which is, I mean, you can just go in and you can see the ideas that person had when they implemented it. Not necessarily a complex list comprehension or something like that, but just you go to a module, you read the first couple of rows, and you totally understand what the module is about. That's, I think, the most beautiful thing with, and especially with Erlang, because it's fairly simple to do that.
So Daniel and Nicholas, thank you very much. The mic is yours now. Anything else you want to tell our audience?
Definitely check out Nova, and don't pay too much attention to how the homepage looks like, because it's really not representing what we are trying to achieve with the framework itself. We are not web designers.
Yeah, I mean, try Nova, reach out to us on Slack and the Erlang forum, and we're happy to both like guide you or help you to start Nova, and also happy to see you contribute or open pull requests to Nova.
Okay, thanks again, and to all our listeners, see you in the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Hello Erlang podcast. Follow us on Twitter at Hello Erlang. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube or on your favorite audio platform.